Who here that's listening takes CBD oil? We know it's getting very popular on the market right now, and certainly whether it's a pre, post-workout or just for general good health and well-being. Try enhanced CBD. CBD for athletes or not, train harder, recover smarter, worldwide shipping, great friends of the show. Type Let's Talk Some at the checkout, get yourself some awesome discounts on some of their great products. Again, enhanced CBD. Train harder, recover smarter. And a big shout out as well for Hardcore Inc., friends of the show, clothing apparel, brilliant brand, brilliant company, a lot of good products, good for the environment, good for the sea, good for the forest, good clothes, worldwide shipping. They go by a mantra of strength, integrity, confidence and spirit. Go to www.hardcore-inc.com to learn so much more. Now we'll get on with the show, episode 21 with Reiki healer and clairvoyant medium Demi Brown. So Demi Brown, thank you for taking time to come on Let's Talk Some podcast. It's great to have you. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. How are you?
I'm not too bad. How's your day been? How's your week been?
My week's been okay. I've been busy. I just been taking my daughter to nursery, been doing readings, working on myself. And that's pretty much it. I'm glad that the restrictions have been lifted and we could start living sort of normal again.
No, it's certainly looking like that now. I've seen a lot of kind of news headlines saying that things are going to get back to normal. Did you notice that? Did you get a really busy pattern during the pandemic then, more than what you expected?
Yeah, definitely. So the first lockdown was sort of when I started doing the readings and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I found that during the pandemic, a lot of people were looking for that comfort to help with their mental health or mm-hmm. a wee bit of guidance, maybe if they've lost their jobs or lost loved ones due to the COVID. Mm-hmm. A lot of people were coming forward and the demand's been really high, actually, on the bookings page.
Yeah. Well, I've spoke to a couple of different people who have done kind of positivity and well-being kind of in the healing industry, if you want to kind of call it that. And it's been a lot to do with people, not even people who have been sacked or that, or people who have lost their job, but people who have suddenly been isolated from family members, isolated in homework. And it's like, they've still got job security, but at the inside, they're still kind of like on their own. Doing a kind of virtual camera doesn't really do it justice in that regard. So no, I can see what you mean. It's pretty mad. So basically, I've done research on you. I certainly know who you are and a few of the things that you've been involved in. So you're responsible for improving the lives of many people. I've been fortunate to read the testimonials on the social media. So upon you seeing how people feel about you and what you do, how does that make you feel?
It makes me feel amazing, to be honest. Like coming from, I was a really positive person before, very fit into my boxing, was a qualified fitness instructor.
Oh, wow.
And like I ran legs, bums and tums class, been to the army and stuff. But then when I got unwell after I had my wee girl, that completely changed my life and I became isolated. Like the pandemic was sort of what my life's been like for the past 4 years almost. So when I'm able to help other people, it makes me feel on top of the world, to be honest, because it's me that's helping them move forward or heal from trauma that they've been through. So the positivity has been crazy. Like I've not had, well, luckily yet, not one bit of bad feedback from any of my readings.
Can't get any better than that.
I know.
So, I mean, I guess that people, of course, I mean, with what you're doing, because you're almost seeing yourself in them in the sense, aren't you? That'll probably play a big part in it for you.
Yeah, it's showing. So before, I was quite judgmental and didn't show much empathy and compassion towards people. But since waking up and seeing that people do struggle and on the surface, they might appear as confident or like they're not going through much. People are battling. like in their houses or even at work and stuff. Everyone's battling with something, whether it's something that's happened now or from their childhood or that's about to happen, they're struggling.
So, I mean, in a sense, that's the stigma really, isn't it? I mean, for people with physical ailments, mental ailments and that, there's been a lot of issues going on with that, because a lot of people are like, if they're not bleeding or showing any kind of trauma that's there on the outside, then they must be fine. And that's perhaps one of the biggest things, certainly, that from what you do in terms of your works, really benefiting, because it's helping people inside as well as the kind of exterior version of them. So we're going to get into the work that you do. But just kind of looking back, just when you started it, so you started it just kind of when the first lockdown took place. When you started it at first, was it always an aim to change lives and help people? Or was that just like an accident? Did you first begin it as a way to help yourself and then the people's help came with it?
Yeah, so I always wanted to help people through more fitness. Mm-hmm. My goal was to do like military. I wanted to open like a military gym to help people with their health and fitness and get a better body image and better mental health and stuff, because I know from doing boxing and doing my running and that, I never struggled mentally.
Yeah.
So my aim was always to help people, but never in a way that I'm helping now. Before I started doing the readings and stuff, I actually just got into college to become a family support worker. So wow. I want to go in and help women that were suffering the same as me or similar with their kids or with herself, like getting into the shower or even just getting out of bed. I wanted to be that person to push them, like, come on, get up, and try and make them change their perspective almost. But never expected to be doing what I'm doing.
Well, not if you've lived a life where you've always been kind of the one at front pushing other people through fitness and that. So did you find yourself getting a lot of clients, a lot of people who suffered through mental health in their own right, in the fitness aspect, in the boxing as well?
Not so much. Like, I was always the person that people came to say, like, oh, I'm struggling, and they knew I was a positive person, and I would get messages saying, like, oh, can I come and train with you? Or there was a girl once who was getting bullied in school, and I was like, come to the boxing with me to try and help her in school and stuff. But never, not so much mental health when I was doing all the fitness and that. It's just more since I've started doing readings and Reiki that I'm finding more people with mental health are coming forward to speak to me.
Yeah. What got you into boxing then? Where did that come from?
So I've always been a very angry person and very aggressive. Like, if someone was to speak to me in the wrong way, I can't argue. I end up hitting.
It's kind of like there's no, like, if we're doing like a 1 to 10, you kind of be like a 5. It's either extremely calm at 1 and then angry at 10. There's no barrier there.
Yeah, and when I'm better now that I've started like meditating and all the spiritual stuff, but before I just couldn't channel my anger that well. So when I was 11, I had, I've still got it, but not as bad. I had really bad OCD. The thoughts I got in my head were, if I don't do that, something bad will happen. And the first person I lost was my granda, who was more like my dad. So I blame myself a lot, because I thought, I used to say, like, if I don't do that, something bad will happen. And then my granda's now got cancer and he's passed. So I had to speak to a psychologist when I was 11. So when I look back and I've done my healing and that, I'm like, I've always had mental health, even at a young age. But I just never seen it like that. I was just, oh, I've got OCD, and never really seen it as a mental health thing. But I ended up getting really angry in school and stuff over that. That's where it sort of started from.
Yeah.
And I had to channel it, so I took up boxing, and that really helped. If I was in an angry mood,
mm-hmm.
I would just go to boxing and channel that anger into punching the pads or sparring, really.
Did you ever think about taking it further? Like, I mean, I've seen, is it Coach Treg? Is that the gentleman?
Yeah, that's my coach, Tom. He's amazing.
Yeah. He is. Well, I've seen some of the videos in that, and I was like, I mean, of course, I don't know your background until now in terms of how much you actually boxed, but when I was watching the pad work in it, I was like, here, like, she knows how to swing her fists about and stuff. So it's quite clear you've got experience in that regard. So did you ever think about competing as in maybe taking it to an amateur level and fighting against opponents and stuff? Was that ever in your mind?
Yeah, all the time. So I used to train for Navarro. I don't know if you've heard of him.
Mark's bare knuckle boxing guy, is he?
Yeah, well, he does a bit. I think he does a bit of everything, but I used to train at his gym and Skyax. I done a bit of kickboxing as well.
Heard of him.
And I used to always say, am I getting a fight? But because my anger, I couldn't really hold my composure that well. I was always just raring to go. So I never got to fight.
Mm-hmm.
But now that I'm more calm in that, I have spoke to Tom and been like, you know what? Like, I want to fight. I want to compete.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know that I could punch. I know that I've got that because I've done it since. Yeah. And a lot of people do message and they're like, wow, Demi, like, you're really good at that. But it's nothing new. Like, I've done it since I was 11. But like that, my anger was just always too much to fight.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I was watching the videos as well, and it kind of all ties in now because you could see that you're kind of really putting your all behind the punches as well. And I mean, for me personally, if we're talking a bit of honest here, when it comes to anger, I could probably deal with mine better. And I was looking at the videos and I was like, you know what? That seems like such a vent. That seems like you really kind of get the stresses of everyday life out. So reverting back to how you started it in the first place, I could see why you would do that. So that's awesome. And to know now that you feel that you're at a kind of a headspace where you can be disciplined enough to kind of switch in and out the kind of fighting, if you will, is cool. Really positive. It's a really positive place to be just now. So you're a Reiki practitioner and is it a clairvoyant medium? That's what I've been reading about you. So for me, that's someone who takes care of the mind and body, in my very naive opinion. Now, for those unaware about it, are you able to just kind of briefly speak about Reiki as in what you do through the Reiki and what you do with clairvoyant as well?
Yeah. So I'm new to the Reiki.
Mm-hmm.
I got sent a recording through the first lockdown from a woman who is a Reiki master. And I'd been meditating and stuff, and it was helping. But when I got sent this recording, I was able to quiet in my mind and start to relax my body a bit more and the tension and that. And the pain was still there before I got surgery in September, but it helped me cope better. It helped me get out of bed. So at that point, I thought, I want to be able to do that. Like, I want to be able to channel that healing and help other people like that woman's just helped me.
Yeah.
So I think when I got the Reiki, it awakened my abilities again to the clairvoyant side because it ties in.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was younger, this is where it all came from. I used to see things and say to my mum, like, I can't go to bed. There's a girl, and I was able to describe, there's a girl with blonde hair. She's lost an earring. But now my mum explains to us that she was scared of it. So she would be like, no, like, I wouldn't let anybody in the house. And my dad says it was a lot of rubbish.
Mm-hmm.
But that's because he wanted me to make my mind up for myself. So when I got that Reiki, I would be sitting, and you know, like, if you're with somebody and you could feel their energy. So if you're with somebody and they're in a mood, you could feel that. Or if someone comes in the house, you could feel their energy.
Mm-hmm.
A woman passed in my bathroom before I got this house, and I started, like, when I was reading to my little girl, I was like, somebody's like standing behind me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd see them, but it was almost like smoke. But because I was unwell, I thought I was going insane.
Mm-hmm.
So I started to channel that and I started meditating more. And in the meditations on YouTube, I started doing, like, connecting with spirit guides and all these images started coming through in my mind, and I was like, I feel my granddad with us again, and he was telling us, like, Demi, it'll be okay, and stuff like that. And I was able to ask my dad about things when he was younger, and he was a bit, how do you know that?
Mm-hmm.
And so I would say, like, I think I had your mum there or your dad with us last night. So I started developing that. I got myself a set of tarot cards just to guide me in life.
Yeah, yeah.
And then my family. So I started reading their tarot cards and stuff. And there was this one time I was doing it to a friend, and I felt an energy with his, and they kept mentioning strawberry jam. And I'm like, mm-hmm. Can I ask somebody that? Like, it sounds a bit crazy. So I asked them, like, did you ever like strawberry jam? And they were a bit freaked out, like, how do you know that?
Yeah.
And then at that point, I gave a reading, and she shared it on Facebook saying, just got a reading. And I'm not joking, I had in my mind, I'll read to my family and about maybe 8 clients.
Yeah.
And then next thing, in the space of maybe 2 months, I had over 1,000 people on my private group.
Wow.
I had to get my friend Isma, who runs my admin page, I had to get mm-hmm. her on board, because the demand was just, yeah. It was constant messages. And mm-hmm. I was a bit, it's daunting, because I'm like, wow, I never expected this at all. And it's mm-hmm. never, I've always been interested in mediums and stuff like that, and I had never heard of Reiki before. So when I started doing the readings and stuff, and I was getting the good feedback of how much I've helped people move forward, and tarot cards could bring up stuff maybe from, so if I was reading to you, it would bring up some stuff from your past, mm-hmm. your present, and your future. But a lot of people were needing that extra bit of healing. So then yeah. I started speaking to the Reiki master to say, like, I think I want to do the Reiki side of things and the hands-on healing.
Yeah.
So I did my course in that. I did the level 1 and level 2 mm-hmm. in one day. And I just got my certificate maybe 3 weeks ago now.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah, so I've qualified as a level 2 Reiki practitioner, but it all ties in. So Reiki is, it's a Japanese technique, and it's energy healing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's channeled through the divine, the universal life force energy.
Mm-hmm.
And what that does is, for the person that I'm giving healing to, I'm bringing my spirit guides forward, plus the person who I'm giving healing to. And okay. they just guide me. So if I don't know you and you're suffering from back pain, they'll mm-hmm. guide me through that. And whenever you go across, maybe, so if I went across the heart and there was things that are unresolved from childhood that they've just suppressed, my hands would heat up.
And oh, like for emotional, like trauma from childhood, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Anything from childhood, or even something that's going on in their life right now,
mm-hmm.
that they're struggling with, my hands heat up. It's the spirit, as I believe, mm-hmm. they're guiding me to the place to help channel the healing.
Yeah.
But what people don't understand with Reiki is, you don't just come to me, I do a healing and that's you.
Yeah.
I'm the channeler for that. So I channel it, and then you've got to go away and do the work yourself to heal all your past traumas or anything that's going on in the present right now.
Mm-hmm.
Really.
So that's what you're saying there makes sense. As I said, naive, I'm very uneducated in that kind of world, but a lot of opinions in that's been painted across. A lot of people have said that that's how you do it, in terms of people, of course, in the society that we're in now. We're in a society that we prefer not to be patient. We would rather get stuff there and then. So I think a lot of people can misinterpret Reiki, because they think that, in the sense, like if you go to a chiropractor or whatnot, you're going to go there, your back pain, your pain in the sense is alleviated. So that's good that you've managed to kind of clear that up, in the sense, because a lot of people do think that it's a kind of stop in with your shop and put your shop on the side, get yourself sorted out, leave, your back suddenly straight, you're feeling great. But no, it's a kind of process that it's kind of prolonged. It takes a while for it to get to any kind of stage where you can be confident that it's been done.
Yeah, that's it. And like you're saying, where I think in this society, and coming from a person that was on the medication and that for a lot of years, everyone's looking for a quick fix when it comes to mental health and physical pain and stuff. So when you go to the doctors, it's, okay, I've got this tablet, I'm going to heal and I'm going to be okay. But the experience I went through, it just wasn't working for me. I was on like 9 tablets a day plus morphine every 2 hours for mental health and dark thoughts and suicidal thoughts and stuff. And it just wasn't working. Like the way I see it, and I'm not judging anyone because everyone is so different and some people prefer medication rather than natural healing or whatever. But the way I see it is it's like putting polyfiller over cracks in the wall. You're not actually solving that problem. You're just coating it almost. You're just putting a coating over your problems.
Like
you're
a
not
plaster actually, over a wound, essentially.
Yeah, you're not getting to the bottom of it because it's always going to pop up if you've not healed your unresolved trauma.
Yeah. And, I mean, that's, again, we can talk about, we'll not delve too much into it, but when we're talking about the kind of pharmaceutical companies and the business, if you will, we know that certainly from the line of work that you come from, in terms of Reiki and healing and stuff, perhaps if people, not to say that you can go and suddenly go, right, that's going to take away my problem, but to give people the option to go, right, you've got medication. On one hand, that's proven to help. On one hand, it sometimes isn't. But why not think of this other perspective that has shown success, you know? So I think that it's good even as an alternative. Like, I think it's a, does it come under the kind of supplementary care or something? Like medicine seen as the number one. And then you've got like supplementary or accommodating care in the healing industry and stuff. So yeah, it's a really big thing. And I think that more people need to be looking into that. So I just wanted to ask you, when did you first feel like the energy like inside, like did you get a moment where you kind of went, oh shit, like I can feel this kind of heat in me that's kind of odd from what you'd be familiar with?
So probably when my best friend's little girl passed away, Freya.
Yeah.
I was trying to think of ways to help her and she would come around me, Freya, and tell me that obviously like her mum was struggling or whatever. And then that's when I started to feel like Freya's pushed my gift to develop it more to help obviously my best friend out. But that's when I was like, no, I've got this gift and the energy is so strong that I can help heal people, whether it be physical issues, mental, spiritually, like I can help them heal. So that's when I felt that energy of I could heal. I could heal people and I could heal myself.
Mm-hmm. So see, I mean, that in itself, in the kind of circumstances surrounding that, I mean, with it being your friend and your friend's child and stuff as well, I can imagine that being really difficult for you to internalise and process. How was the reaction from other people just to kind of go, like, all of a sudden you weren't aware of those abilities and then they suddenly appeared and it's like, I've just in my own right dealt with something that I didn't prepare for. Like, so now you've got to kind of show other people how that is. Like, how did people react to it? Was there any kind of uncertainty at first, or was it automatically people were able to kind of understand it?
A lot of people, so my sisters and that actually thought I was going insane. Because I was in a dark place, I was very vulnerable. I had been to Cars for You and stuff, and then suddenly I'm like, I've got spirit with me. And I spoke to Granda last night, so at the start, I don't think people believed that I was being genuine. They just thought I was unwell. And
yeah, like connotations, like people can go, oh, if people start talking like that, stereotype in society's learned to kind of, that's connotations of mental health, if you will. So yeah, that must have been really difficult for you to not only realize that yourself, but it's like guys, listen to me, this is not a byproduct of kind of mental health. I'm actually feeling something here. So was that a long process to overturn then, for people to not convince, but for people to be like, right, you know what, we can see that what she's doing, she's justifying it.
Yeah, I think because with me, I've always been quite a dreamer. So mm-hmm. I'd always have these big plans and I'd maybe do it for maybe a couple of months. And then I'd be like, right, okay, what's the next thing? What's the next thing? I always knew that I wanted to do something big with my life.
Mm-hmm.
But because obviously I would do something for a month or two, I think people just thought, oh, here's Demi with another one of her ideas. And
I've had that said to me as well.
Yeah, and it's taken a few months for people to realize, like, no, she's serious. And with the reviews and stuff, so in my readings, I don't just base them on mental health. So the tarot cards will open up to me what the person's going through, what they've been through, and what's coming in their future.
Yeah.
But I do an hour reading, and half an hour I'll do the cards. The next half an hour I'll do connecting with spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And I specifically ask spirit, like, it's hard to explain. It's more in my third eye, like I close my eyes and
mm-hmm.
almost like when you're visualizing it, but they're there. So I always ask spirit, show me into their home. What have they done? So they'll be like, oh, she spilt flour today and she was annoyed. So I could open that up to people. So I think when I started connecting more and getting this information, that people were like, wow, how, you can't just guess that.
Yeah.
So I kept pushing that, and every reading I'll ask, show me into their home, show me something that they've done yesterday. So people know that, well, there are skeptical people out there, and I get that.
Of course.
I've had a few people like, oh, that's a lot of rubbish. And I'm like, well, mm-hmm. everybody's entitled to their own beliefs and stuff like that. So, yeah, it took a good few months to get people to actually take me seriously and realise that this is my path. I believe everyone's got a purpose here.
Mm-hmm.
And my purpose is to help people grieve and bring them comfort when their loved ones or friends or whoever it is pass over to the spirit world,
mm-hmm.
and help them.
No, that's, I mean, like it says, and the fact is that you have dealt with the kind of the combination of positive people who do support and do believe it, and in anything you do, you're always going to get skeptics. And it's just in the kind of world of Reiki and healing and clairvoyant and stuff, there's a lot of people that kind of paint it as one of these type of exaggerated things. But I mean, like he says, I think that deep down you'll know the people who genuinely do support it. And I mean, for me, as I said, I've never delved into it to a massive extent, but from looking at your social medias, in terms of real people, real feedback, these people don't need to be leaving feedback to you, they could just keep it inside kind of thing. So the fact that they want to express it kind of speaks volumes, if you will, about kind of how you're doing. But I just wanted to ask again, so just briefly looking at readings, so if you're doing a reading, is that something, as you said, the process, you're taking out the cards, you're looking into your third eye, if you will, is that something that you ever have difficulty doing? Do you ever get occasions where people are going to do a reading and because it's one of these things that just come to you, do you ever get moments where it just doesn't happen?
And I've had one time, and it's because I was just recently going through a breakup and I had a lot of my own stuff going on. So
mm-hmm.
when I go into a reading, I've got to meditate and quieten my mind to open up to the other worlds. So if my mind's not quiet, it is difficult. But there was one time that nothing was coming to me. And I just had to be honest and say, look, I'm going through a breakup. I've got a lot of my own stuff going on. Nothing's coming through. I read the cards and stuff.
Yeah.
But when I was connecting to the spirit world, nothing was coming through. And that's the only time that's happened. Normally it's like, right, okay, I've got your granda here or your gran or whatever. And recently I've been trying to do more face-to-face with my friends and family. Just to get, because in the future I do want to be doing face-to-face and I want to be doing like live shows and like selling out arenas and everything. Like that is my...
You've got to think big.
Yeah, definitely. And it's a gift. So I'm like, I want to share it with other people. I want to end up doing development classes and helping people develop their gifts. Mm-hmm. But at this moment, I'm still only learning myself and I'm still trying to understand it all.
No, and like we said, it's not like going in around and doing boxing. I know we've got lots of fundamentals in boxing, but this is kind of different because there's a lot that goes into this in terms of, as you said, in a sense, to kind of solidify what you say. If you've got somebody coming to do a reading and it's just not happening that day because you've not got a clear mind, in a sense, you're sending that person away who came there to kind of get this done. So in a sense, that's like, it's kind of more authentic in that case. So it's not like, oh, don't worry, I've always got someone for you. You're getting moments where sometimes it happens, sometimes it don't. So there's someone really realistic about that, as opposed to just, yep, anytime, any place, anywhere, I can do a reading for you. So there's something cool about that as well. So yeah, I just want to understand a bit about that. I've got more understanding now. What you're doing so far, it's remarkable. It's great. The fact that you've faced adversity in your own right and you're using that, the abilities that you've got to help other people, is amazing. So just kind of moving on for that. So we know that every success, happy ending doesn't come on its own. There's always adversity, struggle, negativity to kind of lead to that. So we just wanted to touch a wee bit on the kind of the aspect of mental health. So some of us deal with it direct, some indirect. So I just wanted to ask you, how would you say, from what you've already advised me of, mental health has impacted you, if you can just kind of go back a bit?
So before I did readings in Reiki for 3 years, I was in a dark place for the first time in my life, really. I never, I've dealt with family members and friends that would say, like, I've got anxiety or I've got this. And I was naive and very blind to it. So I would be like, oh, pull yourself together. Like, it can't be that hard. Get out of bed and stuff like that. But when I experienced it, and then the first day it was, oh, I'm not feeling myself. Then the next day was, I'm not feeling myself. That went on for years. And then obviously going to the doctors and stuff, I just got handed medication, but I trusted them. And I thought that was my only option at that time, was the tablets that they were giving me for mental health. But it impacted me massively. I was 22 when I had my little girl and I had a C-section. So that was traumatic already. I just... I expected to have a natural birth, but ended up having to get surgery to deliver my little girl.
Yeah.
And then over the next few months, I couldn't get back. I think I went back boxing once and I says to my coach, like, I'm too sore to do this. I can't do it. And then I had to stop every bit of fitness because of the pain that I was in.
And it was that fitness that continued from when you started it to kind of keep your mental game in check. So that's a big kind of fall from being content, you know, kind of falling down. You didn't have those networks to kind of lean on. So that must have been tough.
Yeah, because my go-to for any like anger or if I was going through stuff, it was always boxing.
Yeah.
But I had no options. It was out of my control. Like, I literally couldn't participate in any fitness. Even walking was a struggle.
Yeah.
Because the pain was just so intense. I had to give up my job. I was a sales assistant in SHU at the time. I went back when my little girl was 3 months. Mm-hmm. And I kept saying to them, like, I'm struggling. And they were massaging my back on the shop floor or having to take a seat because I was just in that much pain. So because obviously I lost my job, I couldn't do fitness, wasn't in the best relationship with my daughter's dad.
Mm-hmm.
I did have a support network, but I was in, I hate saying it, but it's the way I felt. I was in a victim mindset, like, why me, pity me. Mm-hmm. And then I started to develop this negative belief system about myself, about, oh, I've got these scars on my body and I'm putting on weight. I can't go out to boxing. I can't do fitness. I lived in a top floor flat at the time. So even getting up and down the stairs was a struggle.
Mm-hmm.
I would actually stay in my flat for a week or 2 weeks easy without leaving the house at all, because my little girl was a baby, obviously, and I didn't have to go out the house.
Yeah.
But this is when the mental health started to get really bad, to the point I didn't want to live anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought, this is no life for me. And doctors were doing every test and just telling me that it was psychological, it was okay. So I started to think, am I going insane? Because mm-hmm. I've got this pain internally and I know that there's something wrong. But when I'm going to the doctors and stuff, they're telling me I'm okay. So I must be, because they're the professionals at the end of the day. But I just kept fighting and fighting with the doctors. I was going like 2-3 times in a week to say, you need to get to the bottom of this pain. Because yeah. I've went from a fitness background to struggling to walk. So there must be something that's not right here.
Mm-hmm.
So then, yeah, that the impact of that became unbearable for years, where, yeah, I just couldn't take any more. I didn't want to wait. When I woke up, I would always be like, why have I woke up? And because I was just in such a horrible place, mm-hmm. physically and mentally.
Yeah. And again, kind of tying into what we've said already about the ability that you've had. So you've always kind of carried yourself in a certain way through being able to be reliant upon your physical fitness and being able to kind of channel all the negative energy that you had through that. So bringing you kind of back down a couple of steps, if anything, that's what it is. And then going to doctors, support systems. So I was going to ask you about support networks as well. So I know people who have suffered from mental health. Mental health is very close to me. I always like to tell myself that I'm kind of battling it, like I've got this mental game. It's like, nope. Do you know how you've got the kind of, they talk about these different attitudes, like the defeatist attitude, or I can't, and such, I'm kind of like, no, I can. I'm like, I feel a need to keep this kind of, this shield, if you will, like, nope, anything gets to me mentally, I'm just going to tell it to F off kind of thing. I always try and get rid of it. So when you're going to doctors and they're giving you medication, again, plaster over the wound. So did there come a time then, obviously, so you're getting to the stage where you're not wanting to wake up because of the kind of lifestyle and the situation that you're in. So was there any moment in time you were able to kind of seek help, or when you got to a kind of breaking point and it was like, you know what, this is it. This is far too much. I'm actually not wanting to even live now. So was there a point where you managed to push through that?
It was 2 years ago now. I actually tried to take my own life. I just had enough and I took loads of my painkillers and I overdosed. And that was sort of a wake-up call for me, because I seen how much pain my mum was in.
Yeah.
And I actually thought I was going to die, because mm-hmm. when I took them, I was, the weeks before, I was going to the doctors and I had a safety plan and that, because I was very open to say, I don't want to be here, like, I'm going to kill myself. And they were just like, we'll do safety plans. And then they were doubling my medication. I was on like sedatives to go to sleep and that.
What's a safety plan from their perspective?
So my safety plan was, it was a piece of paper and they asked me, if I got suicidal thoughts, who would I phone? What would help me get out of that mindset? Mm-hmm. But I was explaining to them like, I'm a very positive person and I try do all this,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't sleep for honestly months thinking of ways to end my life that wouldn't hurt me.
Yeah.
And I had in the back of my mind tablets, like, I'm just going to take loads of tablets and I won't feel any pain or that. But yeah, that was their safety plan. And I was like, it's not working for me. Anything they were doing, I just felt wasn't working. So I ended up taking loads of tablets, overdosed, ended up going to Carsview. And that's where I got to tell them everything that had been going on and I wasn't getting listened to. And I know within myself that there was something wrong. But after that, that's when I was like, why didn't that work? I took a lot of tablets. I could have died and I never. So then I started pushing through the, okay, well, that didn't work. That was my only way out. I'm not laughing, but I'm like.
No, I get you. I get what you mean.
That was my only way out and I'm still here. So I'm obviously here for a reason. And that's when it sort of dawned on me that, no, I have to change and get better within myself because I believe with mental health, being through it myself, people are looking for other people to save them when really the only person that could save you is yourself.
Yeah, you need to want it, don't you? You need to kind of feel it inside. I mean, a lot of people like the thought of being able to help people as well, but sometimes it's one of these things you can help people and encourage people and provide all the prescriptions and pamphlets that you can, but it's about the individual and stuff and certain support networks as well that we can talk about if we're talking about doctors and that in terms of their strategy. So you're in Carsview, right? We know what Carsview is like, but we've heard about Carsview in the sense of they're known for being helpful, but we're also known that there's been some kind of controversy surrounding a lot of decision making and a lot of stuff like that. So when you get out of Carsview, you begin to realise that, right, okay, this never happened, thankfully. Now I'm in a position where I'm thinking that I'm clearly meant to be here. So how did the healing process start? Did you just get out and then suddenly did you just go, right, I'm going to try and improve day by day? Or was there certain aspects of that that kind of got you to where you are now?
Pretty much. I just thought I need to improve day by day because when I got out of Carsview, I had a crisis team that came out for the following week every day just to see what mindset I was in and stuff. So they came out to my house and sat with us and went through, like, how are you feeling? And I just kept saying to them, I wish the tablets worked. Like, I wish that, why am I still here? But once I started getting more answers from the doctors and the hospital and stuff, that's when I got into the mindset of I'm wanting to heal and I can't live the rest. If I'm going to be in pain the rest of my life, I need to live the best life that I possibly could because I believe that having a positive energy and having negative energy, the same amount of energy goes into that.
Yeah.
But living with a negative mind, it's just no good. Whereas I've got stuff going on and from my surgery and that I've had positive letters, which doesn't really happen that often when you've got endometriosis. Mm-hmm. Even the hospital when they did the scan says to me, like, what is it that you're doing? Because like your scan's clear since your surgery. And I just told them about Reiki and the readings and the spiritual side. But I started to realise that I've got answers. I've had my surgery. I've been fixed. I've tried to end my life and I'm still here. So I just focused on getting myself in a more positive mindset. I started going on YouTube and don't know if you've heard of him, but he's really good. Dr. Joe Dispenza, I think his name is. No,
but I've heard a lot of different kind of people who have got different outlets on YouTube. I've heard a lot of people that have went to YouTube. I've went to YouTube myself in some aspects for a load of different things. So it's a credible source.
It is. And you've got to want it to change that and to reprogram your mind because, as I say, I went from this positive person to a very negative, hate my life, hate everyone, actually isolated myself from everyone, lost loads of friends, fell out with my family because they were like, we're trying to help you, but like there's nothing we can do. Doctors, like I've still got that a bit with doctors, like I don't fully trust them because 3 years of telling me that I'm okay and it's psychological, when really I was living with the disease for the length of that time. So yeah, I don't really trust doctors or professionals. I just thought, I'm not going back to the doctors. Unless obviously it's surgery and I need to get, but I've had my surgery now. So I just focus purely on reprogramming my mind, changing my perspective, because there are some days I wake up and I'm like, don't want to get out of bed, and my mind takes us back to what I've been through.
That's realistic, but, though. That's being real. Again, that's not sugarcoating the stuff. I mean, we know that you've developed this mindset. And whilst it's amazing, it's perhaps far more human for you to still experience bouts and hints of stuff of the past, if you will, but then rather than being submerged in that, you're kind of conscious of it, but you can look at it from outside instead of being kind of in the middle of it. So you can look at it now for what it is, and hopefully, by what it sounds, have far more of a kind of control over it.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. I believe if you think too much into the future, you're going to create anxiety. If you think too much into the past, you're going to create depression. So what I always try and tell myself is, when I do go into these, oh my God, this happened, and I'm like, right, okay, Demi, bring yourself back to the present. What's going on in your life right now?
Yeah.
You've got this incredible business that's growing. You're healing, you're helping heal others. I've had my operation, so disease is removed from my body. And it's just about, like, I actually have conversations in the kitchen with myself. Like, if a thought comes in, I'm like, no, Demi, we're not going here. I don't need to. And it's just about, yeah, you've got to speak to yourself and totally reprogram your mind, or you're going to stay in that negative mindset forever. And I'm not blind to mental health because I've been there. But I'm a firm believer in, if you change your perspective, and that'll get you through your hard days. Just being, so what I do is I try and focus on gratitude. If I'm in pain, I'm like, oh, I'm in pain today, but I could see, I can talk. I've got a brilliant group of friends around me now that I've built. And I surround myself with positive people that are maybe not on the same path as in spiritually and stuff, but they're wanting to do something with their lives.
Yeah. No, that's good. And again, not to kind of bring myself into it, but that's perspectives, the way I look at it. So just to kind of back you up in that regard, I mean, I've had my fair share of stuff going on, more physical than mental, but again, it's one of these things you always kind of, even on your biggest, brightest day, you get kind of dark elements of it where you're like, you know what, this is this really shit thing holding me back. And then you're like, well, wait a minute, let's get back down to planet Earth here. I'm still here, I'm still talking, I'm still able to go and have that coffee that I want to have. I can go and play the drums if I want, and I can go and talk to people if I want, and I've got a good network. So yeah, I think that is a very big aspect of perspectives. I think it plays a massive part. As I said, it's really good to hear that stuff's going great for you, and you have managed to understand and take perspectives and look at perspectives as being the main type of thing. And in a sense, that seems like it's really good, and it's a big sense of control over stuff, rather than, as I said, you being in the middle of it, you're kind of looking at it from the outside, and you can keep a kind of constant eye on everything that you're doing as well. So just when we were kind of getting to the end of our chat there, I just wanted to ask you, so endometriosis, now I'm aware of it in terms of, I've heard people who have struggled with it, and they've talked a lot about the physical pain, the internal pain that they feel. Now, you're perhaps one of the first I've heard who's talked about the kind of impact that it's had on your mental health, combined with the way that reactions are from doctors based on how constantly you were told that it's all good, but it's clearly not, because you were battling with it yourself. So you know your own body better than they do. So you put an article out in the Telegraph, because I remember reading it at the time, and I've had a reread of it recently, and that just to familiarise myself with it. Now, how did that advert go? Did you get a lot of responses and a lot of good feedback for that?
Yeah, so when I shared that story, honestly, the same day, my messages on Facebook went crazy, and I thought I was the only one battling with it. But all these women started coming forward and messaging me like, oh my God, I've been dealing with that. It's so good to see that somebody's actually shared their story and the truth about it. I think because it's women's health. So it's stuff that women might feel a bit embarrassed to speak about, or they don't want to speak about their mental health or that. And I was a bit like that. But then the way I seen it was, if I could help at least one person know that they're not on their own, and I thought I was the only one who felt suicidal from it. But since sharing my story, there's so many women that want to take their life just like the way I did, because they're getting told that they're okay, or they're waiting months for a scan, months for surgery. Like, it's a long, long process. I was lucky. I was 3.5 years, whereas some women have spoke to me and they've had it for 12 years and they're still going through it from maybe, say, they're like, oh, I was 13 and I'm now 26 or whatever. It also could cause you being infertile. So I'm so grateful that I got it after I had my wee girl.
Yeah.
Not every woman gets infertile, but a lot of women, because they have to get things removed from, like, their women's stuff, hysterectomies and all that. Like, it's a really serious condition, and it wasn't even acknowledged as a serious condition. So I thought, I want to raise awareness to show people this, the reality of going, like, battling with this disease.
Yeah, and that's... that's fine. So, yeah, that's me jumping too far ahead there, mate. That's what it is. But, yeah, in terms of that, so yeah, I read the article, and, I mean, if we're going by example, and I'm not just saying it because I'm talking to you right now, but I've heard it in deep endometriosis, but I wasn't aware of the impact that it had. So that article in itself, not only did it help bring people who were once unable to share and disclose that information, because probably fear, anxiety, probably felt that they were on their own in that sense. So the fact that you were so public about it, very candid, and, I mean, it wasn't like it was projected to a little city or small town in America. You've done it in your city where you come from, where people are going to see you every day. People who know you and your name are going to know, right, okay, so we never knew that. And that's kind of revealing a big part of yourself in that sense, and a vulnerable part of yourself that many people didn't know. So the fact that you decided to do that, as you said, you've done it to see if you can help one people, but the fact that you got such a big response just kind of shows how sometimes these things are underlooked, and how little things like that can make such a positive difference. So your article was a success then, we could say, on that regard.
Yeah, 100%. As soon as I shared it, I felt like I was a counsellor, like they would come to me to get strength from, and the fact that they've seen. So I was in a support group, and it was very negative. It was all, oh, I've had surgery and I'm still in pain and whatever. So I started sharing what I was doing.
Yeah.
And one person was like, could you stop sharing false hope? And I was offended, because I thought, it's not false hope, it's proof. I'm proof of this is what I'm doing and this is what's working for me. Not everybody wants to do it, and that's fine. But if two people could go away and do what I'm doing and heal from endometriosis, then that was my aim. So I took myself away from all the support groups and that, because I just thought, it's so negative. It's a negative society, and like that, oh, I'll never heal and I'll never get this gone from my body. And I'm proof that I have. I got my letter the other day saying that my surgery went successful and I've been discharged from the gynecologist for the first time in 3.5 years. Honestly, I was at the doctor's 3-4 times in a week. I was in hospital. I was taken by ambulance because I couldn't walk, and I had my daughter crawling about the floor. So I just want to be that positive person that could show women that although you're battling with a disease and it affects you mentally, and it's trauma as well, because if you've never been through it, like, it's really hard to understand. But when you're going through something internal,
big apologies there for the minor technical glitch that's became upon us. Just going to take this opportunity to remind you to get the best CBD on the market. Enhanced CBD for athletes or not, train harder, recover smarter, worldwide shipping. Go to the shop now, put Let's Talk Some in the checkout and get yourself some awesome discounts. And check out hardcore-inc.com for great clothing, apparel and a great message. And check out Heal With _ Demi Brown on Instagram and Facebook. Get some awesome ideas behind the reading and the Reiki healing that goes on by our guest today, Demi Brown. Now back to the show. Like I say, it's one of these things. I mean, the individuals who, of course, were angry and kind of spouting the false hope and all that, I mean, of course, that's just frustration. That's just internalised anger because they can't see the kind of light at the end of the tunnel, in a sense. And hopefully, whoever they are, I don't know who they are, but I'm hoping that they've either got onto a similar path like yourself or they are going to get there eventually. Because, yeah, the last thing you want is to be thinking negatively about it, because we know that negative thinking, whilst it's a natural part of our kind of being and our system and that, we also want to try and balance it with positive thinking. And as you said, you've kind of been able to tie it all in together and in a very positive light. And I mean, you can't get any more than that. You've kind of tried and tested going through a lot of problems and a lot of stigmas and stuff that people have not been able to address. And unfortunately, some people don't manage to be able to kind of sit here now and kind of tell the same story as you looking back. So I think it's massive. And I mean, the aim here is endometriosis, if people can become more aware of it, like myself becoming more aware of it now, and mental health, if people can go, right, I've listened to this podcast, Demi's been through this, she's been through this, she's been able to come out on the other side, and here's her sitting telling her story. And I mean, that's for me, it's a big success story. It's very brave to do as well, because a lot of people, I went on a podcast once just quickly, and they asked me, tell me about me, tell them about myself. And I'm like, what do you mean? They're like, tell me about you. And I'm like, nobody's ever asked me that before, ever. Because I'm Mr. Like, okay, like, you see me, poker face, you didn't need to see what I'm like. But it's very brave to come on a podcast and talk in general, never mind talking about something that you hold very close to you and that you still continue to fight each day, but you're thankfully in a position where you're able to control it. So that's awesome. Like, well, the hat's off to you big time for being able to do something like that.
Thank you.
It's amazing. So what's next on the horizon then? So just kind of moving from that, so we understand in the sense of what you've been through. What would we say the next 6 months going to be looking like for you in terms of getting your business into a much better position and kind of moving forward?
So I've actually just got a room. I'm not going to share where it is yet just until it's done, but I've got a room sorted where I'm going to be doing Reiki and readings from. Mm-hmm. So the aim is to get that room all like decorated and stuff like that. I'm gonna focus more on getting face to face with people instead of doing it over Messenger, and even some lives, like finding that bravery to go on live and deliver readings for people.
Just press the button.
I know. Even before this, I'm like, I'm not doing it. It's just the mind, is it? It's always trying to protect you. But no, the next 6 months, I'm just going to focus on building my business. I've just started doing blessing bags, so the merchandise side of things, like bringing in the crystals and the jewellery to help people with their healing as well. Mm-hmm. Because I use crystals through every reading. And a lot of people will say, like, oh, what crystal did you use? I feel different from that. So I want to be able, when they come to me, to be like, well, here's this so you could take it away with you, sort of thing. I'm wanting to do more podcasts as well, if I get the chance. Obviously with yourself, if you needed me, and other people.
Yeah, I know somebody who could, I know a few people like who would love to have you on to chat. So I'll actually hook you up with somebody. I'll give him a message after this. a girl called Maddie. She's very great individual. I'll hook you up, man. I think it'll be a good wee platform for you to kind of share your story. This is kind of her forte, if you will. So there's that word again, but but she'll be able to understand, and she'll be able to really get your message across to a lot of people, because a lot of people and a lot of her guests all come from backgrounds that could perhaps be similar in some context. So yeah, I think it'll be a good hookup for you to speak to her. So I'll definitely arrange that.
Amazing, thank you.
No, that'll be awesome.
I just want to, like, I'm not looking for sympathy or that. I just share my story to show people that you could come from darkness and transform your life, like, regardless of what you've been through, what you've been told from the doctors about, oh, you've got this and you'll never heal and this will carry on. I thought I would never walk again. I used to use a crutch to get about because when I stood up, the pain was just so severe. So in my mind, I thought I'll never walk again, I'll never be able to work again, I'll never be able to do boxing or any fitness. And here I am doing it all. So that's the only reason I'm sharing my story and just giving people hope that they could get through it in the world if they've got the right. You need to want to do it or you won't really.
Yeah.
It's a bit harsh, but that's
true. And like I said, if you didn't put the messages out and the articles out and kind of give people insight to what you've went through, there would still be a lot of people now who are sitting there internalising it, not sharing it, not kind of getting it out there. So what you're doing, as you said, it's no sympathy, but you can at least have a unique perspective. You've been in the same boat as many people who are still going through it now but haven't been able to share it. So the more people that listen to you on a show, on a podcast, on a live, the more that people can get helped. So yeah, it doesn't come from a place of sympathy or any kind of egotistical thing. It comes from just a place of kind of help and love and just want to help people overall. So that's the way I feel anyway. That's what I take for your vibe in that sense.
Yeah, I'll always stay humble and true to myself. Like, I know who I am and where I've came from, and I'm not any professional. That is the aim. But right now I'm still learning myself. I'm still evolving and growing as a person and growing my business and that. But I am there for people to come to and speak to and hopefully see strength from, wow, this girl's been through this, but look what she's doing, sort of thing. And like you're saying, it's nothing to do with the ego at all. It's more compassion and empathy towards people now.
Yeah. No, that's it. Compassion and empathy. That's pretty much the wording that I would have thought of as well. So, no, that's great. And I mean, for people who are or aren't familiar with you, where could we find your work and where could we find a way to kind of contact you?
So I'm on Instagram as Heal with Demi Bram. And I'm also on Facebook just as Demi Bram. I've got a Medium's page where I always do a wee bit of guidance for people. So I'll put out three tarot cards and get people to pick one. And it's always relevant to what's going on in their life. So that gives people a wee bit of comfort and guidance as well.
Yeah.
On both of my, well, on all my pages, I just try and share positivity and real life stuff. Like, I don't sugarcoat nothing. If I'm having a rubbish day, I'll put that on my story. If I'm having a great day, that'll be on.
No, that's fine. I mean, that's what I've done. Social media is where everybody can find you. Facebook, Instagram, and then soon enough we're going to see your lives and that as well, aren't we?
Yeah, then hopefully on TV doing live shows.
Listen, you've got to set the ambitions high. I mean, at the end of the day, people don't get anywhere if they just accept defeat or think that they've not got any potential to kind of get to that place. So you know yourself what you do, you're confident in what you do, you can justify why you're doing it. So if you're setting the bar high and kind of setting it to get to the greatest heights as possible, that's what you need to do. And I mean, you've got as much chance as anybody of being able to do it. It's just as long as you're keeping your compassion, your passion for it, and you're just kind of making sure that you're enjoying it in the process and helping other people. So yeah, you've got definitely got a good chance of getting as high as you can get.
Definitely. Definitely. I think this society, people fear of what others will say. That's what stopped me before. Or what are people going to say about me connecting with spirit? But I blocked all that out and focused on myself. And actually, this is my life. This is my journey. So I just blocked out the people that don't believe in me or they've got any doubts about me, and just, yeah, focus on myself and my own path. Because there's so many, it doesn't matter if you're doing good or bad in this world, there's judgmental people anywhere, or if they've got a different religion or different background, you're going to get that. And to be honest, like, I'm getting quite big now, and I know that there's people out there that will be negative towards me, and I've just got to prepare for that and brush it off, really. I can't get into any arguments or fights because somebody doesn't believe in what I do.
Yeah. So, at the end of the day, people, as we said, people who come from those backgrounds and people who have got a lot of different life choices and outlooks and perspectives, we just hope that one day we could all, it's going to sound like some kind of headline here, but we can all just kind of coexist. You like this, I like that. You might not agree with me on that, but as a human being, I still accept that you've got your right to be able to do this and do that. And yeah, it's just a big kind of mad kind of coexistence is what we should all be aiming for. And I mean, that's the only way that we can, as a world and society, kind of move forward in life and progress. So yeah, I think you're on a good thing. I think it's awesome.
Thank you so much.
We've finally done it. That's all right. We've got it done.
Oh, good. Good.
It's awesome. But I'll share your stuff on social media. I'll hook you up with Maddie and we'll get something going on. But I appreciate you taking time to come on.
Well, thank you for having me on, and I'm glad that I've done it.